to believe, and then we have to trust. And then as we trust, we begin to worship. And as we begin to worship, we begin to receive the joy and the peace and the patience. We begin to believe more and accept that God is God, and he's here, and he's real, and everything around us that seems so real in the natural isn't as real as who we are worshiping and who we are praising. And it was just like an awakening. It just really was a blessing just to think that, you know, you got to believe. And when you believe that you're opening yourself up, you're trusting that he's going to infill you, because he loves us and he loves you. And he's not going to disappoint.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. As we were done, I felt like the Lord said to answer the question, is that for me? Because the truth is that sometimes we hear things and sometimes we like them, maybe we don't even like them, but there's a wondering, you know, is that for me? And it is. Every word from God is for every person. The Lord never said, some of you believe. He said, all of you believe. He didn't say, now some of you go. He said, all of you go. Go, just go live for Jesus. It's not pushing Jesus, it's being in Jesus. It's in being. Being what God has made you to be. It is for you. He loves your worship. If we worship, he loves our worship. We know if we withhold our worship, and if we withhold our worship, we shouldn't do that. We just shouldn't. You know, we can look at the news and we can see things that are going on. We can see the darkness and we say they shouldn't do that. Right? I think Mike Huckabee wrote something about that the Antifa and the BLM are, now they're going to target small towns. They better not target Highmore. Or Miller or anywhere. I said, not as long as I got a shotgun and shells. Is that Christian? Maybe it's Old Testament. That's right. They'll run into the power of God. I'm believing for things like, you know, when they came to arrest Jesus, they just fell down in the presence of God. That's what I keep praying for. I just keep praying that rioters will all of a sudden be on their faces. Do you know how it feels to just need to get on your face? You know how it is? Sometimes you just feel like you need to get down. All fall down, and that's what I keep looking for, is that. I mean, I know, personally, sometimes the presence of God is just so wonderful that, like, I'm heading for my chair and I go into slow motion and you know, I don't get to sit in my chair. I just drop on my knees before my chair and you know, I used to think there was going to be just some great word from God in that. But the presence of God is more than sufficient. I read something this week about, you know, if all you're looking for is a visitation, then that's all you're going to get. But God doesn't want to be a visitation. He wants to be a revelation. And he wants to be revealed in us. Now that, yeah, that seems like a challenge, but I think more than a challenge, it's a promise, you know. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men, as representatives from all the nations, will grasp the robe of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Well, in order for someone to hear that God is with you, it's going to have to be revealed, isn't it? It's going to show. Man, you've got peace in the storm. God must be with you. Or it may be poised in the question of, how do you keep your peace in the storm? And then you explain that God is with me. I know so often, and I've said this before, people will say, well, what do you know for sure? I know they don't want to take enough time to hear everything that I know for sure when they ask that question. But I shouldn't just exclude the opportunity. This morning as I was typing the devotion, I thought, how about if I just say, let me think about that a second. Because I want to get it just right for you. No. What's your number? I'll call you. Generally, I say, what's a good word? I say, God's a good word. He's always good. I haven't ever had anybody say, you're crazy. Not in so many words. Haven't had anybody cuss me and knock me down for saying it. You get a lot of looks from people like, oh, what a mistake I made there. But, you know, people need to hear, and they won't hear unless we tell them. And sometimes people say what they've heard, but we need to be able to say what we know. At the jail, praise God, I'm back at jail. But it was getting into the groove. You know, there's a different way to hear God in that place. You know, and it's like I'm hearing it, and each pod is different. I keep wanting to remember things I say for one pod, but God maybe don't want to tell this pod that same thing. But I was talking to this pod, and I was telling them, you know, because there were some new faces. And so you don't want to leave any new faces totally behind or whatever, but I'm talking about the goodness of God, because the goodness of God in the land of the living is the Word. And then I said, you know, you're probably sitting there, some of you may be thinking that's easy for you to say. And I know more than got that out of my mouth, and a guy sat there and said, that's easy for you to say. I said, praise the Lord, you can be honest. It is easy for me to say because I've experienced the goodness of God. I know the goodness of God because I've experienced the goodness of God. I don't know the goodness of God just because the Bible says that God is good. But I've spent enough time with God to experience His goodness. I've spent enough time experiencing His goodness to look for His goodness even when I can't see it. He's goodness. Even when I can't feel it, He's goodness. LaVon sent me an email and she said, Bob and I were unloading the trailer. And what you talked about, everything we took off, the stuff just seemed to get heavier. There are things that can weigh us down and they can tire us out, but God is good. He's bigger. He's better. And so we say what we know, even when we don't feel it sometimes. We know. I said to Barb, how are you this morning? And she, I'm wonderful. Really, I am. The way I said it, you wouldn't think. I said, no. See, you were playing with me there. But it's true because it's true. It's true. It's just true. And those are the things that if we can't convince ourselves that it's true, how are we going to convince somebody else? So make it so, Lord, that when people are looking for a rope to grab a hold of, that they know we've got a rope for them. If I'm going to fall off a building, I'm not going to grab a rope attached to little Danica, because she's going to fall with me. You know? Yeah, yesterday or the day before, when I was pumping mom's basements, I came up the step and a hose caught my foot, and I fell up the steps and out the door and on to the concrete. I was so glad I've got that old, ratty, useless carpet laying out there. Or I'd have a big bunch of skin missing here. And I was thankful. I said to myself, wow, glad you're still agile. It wouldn't have looked agile to anybody watching it happen. Door flies open, man flies out door, falls on ground. And I'm thinking, praise God, I can get up. This is awesome. So that must have been Friday. So yesterday, I'm coming back in, pulling the hose in. And once again, I was agile. I stepped on the rug slipped, here's the hole. I didn't go down the hole, I caught myself. And once again, I'm going, oh, thank you, Jesus. Now I'm feeling frisky, I ain't just agile, you know. Because that wouldn't have been a graceful fall. We might step on a slippery spot, but we can catch ourselves. We can be like the prophet who said, I may be down, but I'll rise again. And those are all declarations of your faith. Those are, you know, sometimes the greatest revelation of our faith is fixing a hole, fixing a mess, fixing a failure. Sometimes it is. I said, I can remember when I was in high school and I was working for a carpenter and we were starting to do the sheetrocking in the old days of the nails and the hammer. And I did. I put so many holes in the wall that they invited me to go out and clean up the grounds. Jeff said, I can understand that completely. Because, you see, at the time, I had no idea how to fix the holes I made. And if you make enough holes, it's just not a good thing to do. I can fix holes now. If my shower head leaks, I can cut that wall out like a surgeon, take the piece out, fix it, put it back in, do the walling, because it's in a dark spot in the house, you'd never know. If it was in the middle of the living room, I'd have to work on it a little bit harder. Sometimes things take a little more work, but do we want to work at them? The first time that I did that, for quite a while, I just hung stuff over the hole, but Vicki wasn't necessarily happy with that. I do have one hole that I haven't fixed, and that's over the shower downstairs, but we do have a thing on the wall over that, so it doesn't bother anything, and if that thing messes up, I can fix it again. But we can't just cover holes, we have to fix holes. Realizing that it's something. You see, it's like when we look at the state of the world, you know, I think part of Tara's word was the Lord saying, you know, it's not over. He can make it better than before. He can fix everybody. Honestly, some of them we would like to fix so they don't come back. I'll be honest. You know, I really said, God forgive me, but I told Vicki, I said, you know, they should just grab the leader of the BLM and take him to Gitmo. I think it would impress a lot of people to have that shown. But that might not be what God has in mind. And so, as usual, I find it better to say, oh Lord, you know. When I make those kind of suggestions, I kind of throw in and I'm sorry. Then I need to be honest and say, maybe. It's not a terrible idea, Lord, you know. If you're looking for ideas, just put that in your pocket somewhere. Just use it as a seed. It might come up. I'm not going to say that everywhere, but I can say it to you. We're family. If we're being monitored, I'll be getting trolled like crazy. But that's okay. I don't care. I'm a big boy, and I'm agile. So I know it because it's true, but thanks to the Lord, you know, I mean, I do. I look at those things and I say, man, there's people in the hospital after things like that. There's people that somebody comes and finds them and they never get up after things like that. So I just praise the Lord. You praise the Lord because you're clumsy? No, I praise the Lord because I can get up. You know, when you've got somebody that can get up, you know, you got a boxer that can get up. When a guy's gotten up enough times and won enough fights, people aren't quick to bet against him. He'll be back. Get up. Get up. You hear him. You look at him, you know. Jesse Duplantis and, oh, Roger's going to drop the ball here on the name. But anyway, another one of the guys that I've listened to, Jerry Savelle, they like the big fights, you know. And I mean, they're right in there. Get up. You know, I don't think they have a bunch of money bet on it. I'm hoping not. But if they do, that's their problem, you know. But I mean, you know, getting into it, you know, getting into it. Again, that's a thing of when we believe God, we get into it. Get into it. You know? I never wanted to fight because even if you won, it would hurt. Football never bothered me. I never considered that hurt, but fighting, you know, when they would ask me to box with the heavier weight guys so they could have a sparring partner, I didn't want to do that. But the coach knew me, and I don't want to do that. All they did was make me mad when I got hit, and then I just got it done in a hurry. Just wait out, because then I got no brains. They can hit me as much as they want. I'm going to get them back, and then they've had all the sparring, you know. But, you know, but when it comes to faith, when it comes to walking with God, you're going to get hit. Brush it off. The battle's not yours, it's God's. Take Jehoshaphat and say, hey, we're going to go out praising. And we're going to it's going to take a long time to gather up the blessings. I believe God promised us blessings just for worshiping him. And he's worthy to be praised. God's a blesser. He is a blesser. And so if he's a blesser, then we need to look for the blessings. I understand that sometimes we just wonder why. But sometimes when we wonder why, we get caught up in the why and we just lose sight of the blessing. We lose sight of what God has for us because we quit looking for what God has for us. And so we quit declaring, God, you are a blesser. Go ahead and bless me. And Lord, while you're blessing me, make me a blessing. Make it obvious, Lord, because the Lord says that people are going to come up and they're going to grab a hold of you and say, I understand that the Lord is with you. Then there's going to be things that God does to make it obvious that the Lord is with us. You have a blessed life. Every one of you have a blessed life. And we need to get a look at our blessed life. And we need to see the blessings of a blessed life. 30 years ago, I might not have seen all the blessing in coming up the stairs and flying out the door. I might have think, boy, you're clumsy. No, you shouldn't be doing that. But now, I can do that. I could have done it then. My son dumped me out of a skid loader onto a pile of rocks. And I hit on my shoulder. And I said, oh. And Jordan scrambled out of the skid loader. "You okay, Daddy?" "Yeah." And I'm thinking, if we don't get back to work, I'm going to die here. But I got up, and I got on. My shoulder still works. It took a couple of seconds on the ground to come up with the blessing in that. I wasn't so thinking so blessing then. I wasn't even thinking it hurt to think. Sometimes things come at us so hard that it hurts to think. That we really can't think. And when we can't think, we get thoughts that aren't ours. We get doubts that aren't ours. We get fears that aren't ours. And we need to recognize what's not ours. And then begin to speak what God has given us. "I've come that you might have life. Oh God, you came that I might have life. I have life in Christ Jesus." You see, as we speak to ourselves in those psalms and those hymns and those spiritual songs, we're being built up in our most holy faith. What the enemy wants to do is condemn us for getting down in the first place. Or accuse somebody else. You see, my son dumped me off of that skid loader. Well, then I could say to myself, why were you up on the skid loader? Why wasn't he? I wouldn't want to dump him. But you see, you could, without really thinking, but if not thinking, you could become an accuser of the brethren. See, because that's what the enemy does. When if we get down, we wonder why God let us get down. God didn't let us get down. We got down. There's evil in the world. Hello? And right now, it seems, you see, we're getting some picture of it that we haven't seen before necessarily. I mean, there's a little stuff going on in the world all the time, as in our little part of the world, in the most wonderful nation in the world, part of the world, there's been stuff going on. But when I told the prisoners about the people that ate babies and the snake, they said, "How long ago did that happen?" I said, "Within the last few months." "Wow, that stuff don't go around here." But then another guy said, "Well, it kind of goes on. We just don't see that much of it." I'm going, "Whoa, where you been?" You know? But we're seeing things that we don't like to see. We're seeing things that we've only heard about. They want to rewrite history. They want to take away history so that people don't remember that we've been through history. I mean, you think about the people that were around during the Civil War. Cousin Billy shooting Cousin Bobby. And there were times and people then wondering, what in the world are we doing? What is going on? But if you just erase it, you won't have enough sense to stay away from it. You think we're bad? We're going to get rid of all that old bad, so you don't know about that old bad, so you don't know where we're headed. There's only one that works that way, and that's the devil. It's the devil. And Don Francisco wrote a song that if Satan the deceiver has been whispering in your ear, you tell him he's defeated and he has no business here. Because it doesn't matter what you've been, it matters what you'll be. Your sins were taken to the cross. Satan, the deceiver, is whispering in ears, but we know that voice is not the voice of God. We know what's true. You see, we can look out a lot of times and see what's true, but the battle for our own minds can be more than we seem to be able to bear, and the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So I don't have anything that's less than that. And if I am burdened when I'm down and oh so weary, you raise me up. You raise me up so I can climb a mountain. That's a good song. You raise me up to stand on stormy seas. And I'm strong when I'm on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up. This would be a good time, Lord. Raise me up. You raise me up. You raise me up. You raise me up so I can climb a mountain. You sing it, Barb. Go ahead. But you see, you do. We just got to remember that. We got to look for that. We've got to desire that. Because God said, I will give you the desires of your heart. I want to be more like Jesus. I do. I do, I do, I do, I do. Even when I'm not, I want to. You know? The Lord told me, the Lord told me in my sleep or in my wake, whatever it was, you know, not to take things that don't belong to you. In other words, don't take a burden that doesn't belong to you. Don't take on guilt that doesn't belong to you. Don't take, he who says thou shalt not steal, don't steal anymore. We don't need to be stealing things from the atmosphere. We don't need to be stealing things and taking up things that we don't, that aren't ours to take up. Cast them on God. I'm not gonna take up guilt for something that I don't have. You know? Repent because you're racist. I'm not. Oh, you must be. No, I'm not. I'm not. I might have been at one time, but I'm not. When I played football, we had two black men on our football team. And they were the only two in the school. And I liked them. Not because they were a novelty. They were nice guys. Yeah, one of them was a little shaky sometimes because he was a running back and he might take my spot. But that wasn't racist. That was just... The other one was a big lineman. I called him Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones. I don't know why. I just started calling him Mr. Jones. And Mr. Jones and I, we were okay. And when Mr. Jones saw me after I was saved, and I've told this story before, but he said, well, Roger, what are you up to now? Mr. Jones, I'm a pastor. Oh, this is a big one. This is a big one. I can't, then God does do miracles. I said, yes, he does. Hallelujah. Now, he wasn't an angel, but he figured out I was a miracle. God blessing me even then. But I'm not going to go, oh, I'm sorry, I was racist. I'm not racist. I'm not going to take something that doesn't belong to me. I'm sorry I don't always have a perfect attitude about the way that things are. But I don't know what the perfect attitude is. And God has not yet to me said, Roger, solve it. That would be a lot of pressure. It's over. That'd be like in the wake of a tornado. So we'll leave it to God. But while we're leaving it to God, we can leave a light, a trail of light. Because in the midst of all of this darkness, there are people looking for light. They may not even be looking for change. They just want to see some light. And they may just be getting tired of darkness. I don't want to live in the darkness. I don't want to live in a cave. I don't like darkness. I'm not afraid of it, but I don't like it. I look for a light switch when there's a chance. And if there is no light switch, you know, Vicki and I watch some of the cop shows sometime. We say, why don't they ever turn on the lights? Looking with a flashlight all the time. But I discovered something. When I lose something, I can find it better with a flashlight than turning on the big light, because I'm looking in one particular spot. Let's be a light in our particular spot. With the Lord's spotlight upon us. You know? Well, I don't want to be in the spotlight. I got news for you. You are. You're in somebody's spotlight. And you bring a joy to God's heart. Is that for you? It is. I can bring joy to the heart of God. Maybe I'm the only joy in some places. Maybe I am. And if I am, then I hope that it's shining. I ain't gonna put my joy there. I'm not gonna waste a good word on that person. I'm pretty sure they don't want to hear it. I told them before and they didn't listen. Careful. Don't be putting the shade over the light. If we get another opportunity, then maybe it's because it's the opportunity. I don't know. Am I as willing to pour out the blessing as I am to withhold the blessing? Well, if I want to withhold the blessing, that's not good. But if the Lord says, stop. Oh, but Lord, this could be the opportunity of a lifetime. This might be the big time. Okay, fine. Now, here's the place. Lord, you know that doesn't work. What are you thinking? I've tried that before. Oh, really? Aren't you just the smartest thing now, Roger? No, sir, I am not. That was just plain dumb. You didn't make me dumb. So I picked up a dumb bug somewhere. Heal me and I will be healed. I just really do. It's in the being. Be. Just be. Be full of Jesus. Be full of desire for Jesus. And be confident that Jesus in you knows what's best. Trust Him. Trust Him. Know Him. Worship Him. Lift up His name. Give Him glory. When you don't know what else to do, give Him some glory. When you don't know what to say, give Him some glory. When you're alone, give Him some glory. When you're with somebody, give Him some glory. Just keep cranking up that light. Keep getting stronger generator. Without all the manufactured things. Because see, if you're built up, there's a reason that he said being built up in your most holy faith. Because there's a lot to try to tear it down. And just because you don't have holy thoughts doesn't mean that you're not holy. It just means you've picked up the wrong channel. Change the channel. Fine-tune it. Lord, just make it so in our lives. We don't know what role you have. We don't know our assignment from one minute to the next. We just know that we're supposed to be lights in the world. We can do that. And we can praise you. You said you really like that. Because that's what we were created to do. You said you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. You will. You will. We do. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.